You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at UnitedWayCleveland.org. Yes, we are reeling here in Berea. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily and give us your thoughts. And really, it's a depressing Monday. There's no question about it. It was a game that, you know, while you and I both picked the Browns to lose, it was not based on the fact that they should have lost the game. They should have won the game. And yet, once again, they gave the game away in large part. They lost the turnover battle again. They lost the penalty battle again. And I wonder what is, you know, what does that get pinned on? Because the coaches aren't the ones causing turnovers. They're not the right ones dropping the ball. They're not the ones making bad reads and throwing the football into places they should not be throwing it. I just wonder what the answer is. How do you tighten that up, or is it just kind of one of those random things that eventually over time will normalize to the mean?
I don't know that it's going to normalize. That is one way you can go with it. When you trust the personnel you have, when you believe the players you have are good enough to give you success, you let them play themselves through exactly what you're describing. However, I think there are large parts of this team that are given to exactly what you're talking about. I think when you go from top to bottom of this roster, there are those lingering questions about the quality of personnel. And this is the part, we'll get into the hope business here. When you have as much salary cap room as the Browns have, then widespread sweeping moves on this roster are what you can probably look to do between draft and free agency. 10 picks right now, and I'm sitting here saying at least 10 new players come from the draft, at least. I don't even want to hear about packaging or pick trading to reduce the number of picks for one guy. I think the needs have become so great, and the need to bring in competent people who don't do the things you just recited so well, I think that's one way to look at it, and free agency being the other part. And when you've got this cap room, you need to do this. This can't be what Jimmy Haslam can sit there and with a straight face and say, yeah, we'll just continue to ride this. Joe Banner, there's no way that this is going to be acceptable. Now, having said all that, the other thing that's troubling is some of the newer faces to this team, Paul Kruger being one that was a big investment in free agency. Barkevious Mingo from the draft, and I thought Barkevious played a better game.
I did too.
But I'm talking body of work now up to this point. You get to this point, and yeah, he came back a little bit. Mingo did, but where are the sacks? Where are the pressure? They got two sacks yesterday. Jabal Sheard got one of them, and that was encouraging to see, but still not enough. Chad Henne still was able to operate with far too much comfort. And the other thing that was really bothersome, that team ran pretty well, Nathan. That team actually had some running going, that chunk types of running plays that I just think are beyond inexcusable for this defense.
Maurice Jones-Drew had a run of 18 yards. Jordan Todman had a run of 13 yards. Between the two of them, they ran 28 times for 106 yards. So not a massive yards
not
per
massive,
carry average,
but
solid,
enough,
but solid.
Enough, enough to do damage. It was, yeah. it was part of the damage that was done. Would you agree?
Yeah, there's no question. Listen, they scored in the game 32 points. Now, you wanted, there was a safety in there. There was obviously a stretch at the end of the second quarter where they put 13 points on the board in a minute and 20 seconds, which is not good, and was certainly aided by turnovers on the Cleveland Browns side of things. But I think there are obviously needs to be addressed here on this football team. There's no question. You need to find people who will execute in the most critical of moments and not turn the ball over, because that has been really the difference. And you look at the games, as we talked about, Jason Campbell played his two best games against Kansas City and against Baltimore. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers. The last 3 weeks, 4-4-3 for this team. You can't win playing that way. We know that. They've shown that they can't win. They can't even beat the Jacksonville Jaguars at home when they play that way in a game where they score 28 points on offense. All right, you've heard from us. We do want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Pat in Kent, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
It could be better, Pat.
Yeah, I could agree more. You know, I had a question, and I was at the game yesterday. With this whole thing coming out about Whedon being having a concussion and stuff like that, did the Browns? My question is, why didn't the Browns end up going to Alex Tanny if Whedon had a concussion? Don't you have to go through the protocol? I thought this whole thing was installed because of Colt McCoy in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago.
Pat, you're right. It was installed because of that. But the circumstances, as I gather them, was that the concussion-like symptoms didn't surface until after the game. It was about an hour after the game that we were informed that he had told the trainers or the medical staff of those symptoms, and that's when it all began. So that's why the mystery was there. The coaching staff, nobody knew during the course of the game, and I'm going to presume here that maybe he didn't know, Whedon himself, until afterward. At least that is the timeline. It's confusing. I'm with you, Pat. It's confusing. And they were supposed to eliminate that vis-a-vis the whole Colt McCoy thing in Pittsburgh of a couple of years ago, and that's when the league started to put all these protocols in place. So it begs the question of when it happened and how maybe it wasn't noticed, or maybe he wasn't feeling it. And I'm the wrong guy, Nathan. We're not the right guys to tell you in any way, shape, or form what has to happen, you know, under those circumstances if it happens during the game. We can only go by what we were told by a Brown spokesman.
Right, and just know that you as have good a clue as to who's going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns this week as we do right now. A very unsettled situation for a team that is unsettled right now, winners of one of their last seven games. When we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers will be in studio with us for the roundtable brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongville. And, of course, you can catch all the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com.